if we could just go around the group here and state your name, when you were born, and where you were born.
Betty Kirby, 1921, in Wichita, Kansas.
Opal Blancett, Guymon, Oklahoma, September 19th, 1917.
We have the same birthday.
Mine was September 19th. Mm-hmm. Hart.
For heaven's sake, I've never
born,
run into anybody.
July the 14th, 1921. And we were about 17 miles south of here.
Wow.
Okay, I have it about 16.
All right.
Pearl Morrison, August the 18th, 1923. And my sister said 17 miles, and I had it as 16. So that's close enough, just straight south of Boy City.
So you two are sisters, mm-hmm. Lucille yeah. Hart and Pearl Morrison. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, Mrs. Stringfellow.
Well, I'm the first one of all.
Me?
I'm Mildred Stringfellow. I was born in January 25th, 1911, in southeast Kansas, Neosho County, close to the town of Erie, Kansas.
All right. Well, what brought you to this area? When did you come here?
My parents came to this part of the country in 1914. I've lived out here ever since in this county.
You were 3 years old, you?
Yes.
And they came here to?
Farm.
Farm? And were they not having luck in Kansas?
Or? Oh, everybody was coming west and going to get rich, I think, and I thought they would too.
Who else came from far away? How did you get to this area?
My folks were flooded out in Kansas. We came out here just shortly before the dust storm started. So we went from one extreme to the other.
Too wet to too dry. Mm-hmm. And the rest of you were a little ways away.
My dad was a rancher on the Cimarron River, just north of here. And we went over. They went over there to give birth to me because my grandparents lived there. That was just there a couple of weeks or so.
Oh, and then back.
Then back
here.
To the ranch. Uh-huh.
And you guys were born right here.
Mm-hmm. In this county.
They yeah. made it all the yeah. way here. And did all of you grow up in a rural environment, like in a farm setting or ranch mm-hmm. setting or so on?
No, I did.
No, Betty didn't.
Betty didn't. No. My folks had when we came here in 1929, they had a little five and dime store, just a small one. We lived in one room in the back of the building, and then they just progressed a little bit, a larger building, and so forth.
Well, is that building still here standing today? Is it?
No, it isn't.
It's gone.
I remember we really enjoyed going to Palmer's.
Yeah.
I think everybody remembers
Pam's, come to town and go to Palmer's.
They were in the building where Pam's is now, the last one there.
Yeah. But the first one was there in the corner, mm-hmm. southwest
yeah,
corner.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No building there now.
No, they tore that building down. Well, they tore down the second building where yes. the gazebo is now.
Awesome.
They
yes,
were in that store.
They were in that building there where the... Oh. Where the little park is, right?
The caboose?
There. No.
No, the
across
gazebo
the street.
Across the street.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What was so good about Palmer's?
Well, they just had all kind of goodies you could get for 10 cents and 20 yeah. quarter and so forth. We'd just come to town
it was a very popular store
and get our goodies in there.
Well, they had about everything.
They had candy, too, I think.
Yeah.
Candy bars. Yeah.
Things like candy. Mm-hmm. You had a candy case.
They don't no longer have those nice five and tens, do they?
No, they don't. Well, do they even have Woolworths and Cresses? Do they
Ben
have?
Ben Franklin's in the north. They
Is
have
Ben,
the ben
Franklin
Franklin's.
In the north?
Mm-hmm.
They had a Ben Franklin store then for many years.
Your parents did?
Mm-hmm.
After the
death storm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see, where should we start then? Well, let's talk a little bit about the just day-to-day activities of your lives once you were living here, once you moved here. Like, if you could describe a little bit about what you would do on a normal, non-dust storm day. If there was a normal day here, you know, waking up, what would you? I know your daily activities probably differed a little bit than from the other people.
Did.
So maybe please start with you. What was a normal day like for you living in the back of the store?
Well, let's see. We only lived there about a year, and then we moved out. But they moved from Kansas from an 8-room, nice 2-story home into this one room, and it was quite a change. But I remember two things. When we had the store over on the corner, there across from the caboose, every Saturday night, people would come to town and line the street, sit and get in. The store was open from 8 to 10 on Saturday. And, well, people all over town, they would come from the country and sit. That was our recreation.
Sit.
Mm-hmm. Saturday nights.
Saturday
nights. Friday nights that people come to town, but it used to be Saturday nights.
Saturday nights. Mm-hmm.
So, I guess we were talking more about everyday activity for you. Like, what would a normal day
like
be like?
What would be your daily chores or things you had to do every day?
I can't really remember very much. I remember Sally, my younger sister, would work in the store. She wasn't very big. She'd have to stand on a box to wait on people. And I would cook the meals at home. And I wasn't very old, but and of course during the Dust Bowl days, the folks bought an Electrolux sweeper, and we had to run it every day. We had wet sheets at the windows at night so you could sleep at night.
Do you think having being the daughter of the 5- and 10-cent store owner made you a little more popular?
Oh, I don't know about that. but my mother was she played piano. And at one time, during the, of course, we did everything to make a living through those depressions. She had 40 pupils at one time.
Oh, she gave lessons. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any of you were the, did you take lessons?
Well, I did, but not from my mother. From other people, I did.
Yeah.
And then I went to Amarillo in 35, 36, and 37 boarding school to music.
To concentrate on your music?
Mm-hmm.
Did that prove, did you develop any, I mean, did you carry that further?
No. That was it.
All right, well, what about the farm girls? What was a typical day for you?
For
what
me?
Was it like? Yes. Anybody, now you can just
get up about, I don't know what time, maybe 7 or 8 o'clock, and follow my dad out to the corral. And when I was about 6 years old, I learned to milk. I thought that was really something. My brother, he wouldn't get up and go. He was 11 months younger. And I'd go out and milk with my dad. And then I'd go to the feed yards or drive the team to the feed yards. And mostly follow him around and ride horses and work with the cattle, mostly. And then after the dust storm started, my mother would hand me the broom. She didn't teach me to cook, but you take the broom, you clean the house. So that was my chores. And sometimes in the mornings, you could see the imprint of your head on the pillow. Would have been that dusty. Coming through the windows. Isn't that right? Yeah.
Right.
You all remember waking up with...
Out in the country, you see, there wasn't any protection out in the country. Here in town, they had buildings that protect them a little bit, but out in the country, the dirt come right on through.
And it wasn't that dirty. The soil didn't blow that bad out on the Cimarron because there was the Vega and all the grass and everything. But it came from somewhere else and just rolled in.
That's right.
I remember that April 14th. 1935.
I thought it was the 15th.
Well, maybe it is the 14th. 14th or 15th and 35, I think. Horrible. Black. Cold black. You've seen those pictures.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but to me, when it...
Go ahead.
When it started rolling over, we were home.
Mm-hmm. My mother and I were
our grandmother. And I wanted to stay outside. It fascinated me. But, you know, it was... I didn't have sense enough to be scared. That was, but anyway, it did. It just rolled over the house, and the wind was not strong.
No, there was hardly any wind. It just rolled in.
Then later, the hard wind. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wasn't it scary? Cold black. It
didn't have sense enough.
It's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it totally shut the light out.
Yes, it
totally. Mm-hmm. You cold black.
A kerosene lamp. It looked like a match. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was it different than others because there wasn't the wind with it?
It was one of the worst, heaviest. Yeah, it was the worst. Mm-hmm. The number one, I think, it was the black one, we called it.
The ones that came later were, the winds were stronger, you know, but that one just rolled over us just like a...
And we never did have another that was that totally black, did we? I don't think so.
I can't remember how long it stayed.
I know my mother started praying. She thought it was the end of the world. My father and my brother had gone down about a couple of miles to pick up some horse feed with a wagon. They had to walk ahead of the horses and lead them home.
And how did they see you get home, even?
Well, they just kind of, that it was ruts, you know.
Oh, yes.
Like, we didn't have pavement, we just had the ruts. And they just walked these ruts and pulled and held on to the horse and brought them in. It wasn't nice. It wasn't a good time.
Do you think you weren't scared of that one because you'd seen other ones, smaller ones coming in?
No, that was the very first one. That was the worst. Everybody was frightened a little.
Yeah.
That was the first one you remember? Was the April 14th, 1935?
Really?
The mean one. The worst, you know. We'd seen a lot of dirt and dust and things blowing every day, but not anything like that.
It wasn't what we called that.
Not that black one. Not that.
There was a little wind, but not... Huh.
There's some of those pictures around there, aren't there? That totally black one.
There, got some pictures in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not exaggerated.
This isn't very...
Every day.
Oh, we had...
We got something... Yeah.
Wind and dirt every day, but not one like that, baby.
Sure.
We stayed out until just before it hit. We didn't make it.
There you go.
There it is.
Hey, I think I see you there.
No, you don't.
No,
just inside.
It looked like the end of my mother thought it was the end of the world.
And you know, it was a beautiful afternoon.
She prayed with the rain.
Just so warm and pretty.
And right after it, after the wind finally got up, I went out to the southeast corner of the house, and there was an old hen coming around there, and her she was just flopping.
Poor chicken.
Here it is, taken out of western Kansas,
yeah,
same thing.
That's it.
It's just like it's brown and black.
Yeah. Yes.
How long did it stay pitch black? How long did it stay so dark?
Well, all night.
Most of the night. We didn't even go home. We was at my husband's parents, and we stayed there all night.
Mm-hmm. It came in the afternoon, right?
About 4 o'clock, it hit the river.
Mm-hmm. And then
and
just through the night?
You didn't see any light till the next day. No. You know, I mean, it was totally dark.
That was in April, and I remember another really bad one. We'd gone out to the Donnelly Ranch, my cousin and I, from our ranch, visiting them, and a bad one hit. We couldn't drive. So we stopped at the Stacy's place. Stacy, is that her name?
Yeah.
And Mrs. Castaneda was there. She couldn't get home. Monico's wife? Mm-hmm. And she couldn't get home either, so we stayed there until the wind kind of went down and drove on home then about 10 o'clock or something. But it was, you couldn't drive. It was so bad. And Alice Hood was telling me the other day about when they were in.
Who?
Alice Pitcher Hood. Mm-hmm. They were going to Dalhart. They lived down here in the flats. And they got stalled. They couldn't
go any farther, and they found a dugout, and they crawled down in that dugout and stayed all night. And it was just kind of a vacated place, you know. We had some, of course, I was a teenager and didn't take it that as seriously, but it's one that didn't worry your parents to death. It was so bad.
Well, it did when you couldn't get no crops raised.
Yeah.
And
no grass.
No grass for the cattle and stock. You couldn't hardly raise a garden for the wind.
Oh, not possible. Not possible.
It was terrible.
Did you know anyone that had gotten lost in the, you know, lost out somewhere, disoriented in the storm?
I remember the blizzard one time. Let's see, when that west of town, that school bus got stalled. When was that? It was snow and dirt.
That was a snowy night.
Was that the snuster? I saw something over there about the... The snow storm, dirt storm that came in, they called the snester.
Oh, I didn't know about it.
I didn't know that either. I never heard of
it. It's over there. I've never heard of it either.
No, it's new to me. But we had some bad blizzards, I remember that. We had a terrible one in 57, March yes. mm-hmm. of 57.
Mm-hmm. Well, none of you, I don't guess, remember the one in 18.
That was a little before my time.
Don't remember that one, but I heard folks talking about it.
Let's hear about the 1918 one.
Or was it dirt and snow?
No, it was just a snowstorm. A blizzard snowstorm. My father was in Texline. He went the day before with two wagons and four head of horses. That's the only way we had to travel in them to haul the grain off. Went down there and loaded up with coal and staple groceries. And the next morning when he got up, this blizzard was on. And we lived about 45 miles from Texline. And he tied the reins to the wagon and walked the biggest part of that 45 miles to keep from freezing to death.
When was that, 1917?
1918.
Is that the year the flu was so bad?
Yes.
I heard about
yes.
uh-huh. mm-hmm. Killed people.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Lots of people died of the flu that mm-hmm. year. He had to get home because we were without coal. And
how long did it take him?
Well, all day. He was an all day. He left early and he got in about dusk that evening. And we had a shed barn that the cattle could get in. And when that was all over with, that was all closed in. The cattle were in that shed barn and that snow was plumb over the edge down to the dirt. And one cow was standing close enough to that snow that her breathing melted a little bit, and he cut a door there for him to get out the next day.
That's terrible. Well, in this 57 one, there was a drift between our house and Bob Johnston's here in town till you could walk on their roof from this.
Well, you could walk
drift
over town. On my flower shop, too, over the top.
Uh-huh.
Well, it practically covered my house up in 57, too. If I thought you'd going to do that, I brought some pictures of it.
And it wasn't cold. It was so wet. The snow was so wet it drowned cattle, you know,
yes,
breathing
that. They breathe that snow.
Yeah, it drowned quite a few cattle.
Drowned cattle. They mm-hmm. breathe in snow.
Wow. That's a little off the topic.
Yeah, it is.
Well, how do you think that once the dust storm rolled in, and those times began, I guess that was an official beginning for that time. Mm-hmm. How did it change your lives? I mean, surely it had to have had drastic changes. I mean, in the way you lived or how you thought about
living.
What
did you learn to do without? Mm-hmm. Because we didn't have it.
What do you remember, anything specifically doing with that?
We managed to have food a little along. It wasn't as plentiful maybe as we'd like to have had it, but we had something. But we didn't have no money to buy anything with.
What, do you remember a change in your diet? Like you remember having
not
have so much of things?
Well, we probably did not eat so much of anything, yes. But I do remember that in the 30s, my mother-in-law, I don't know how she managed, but she had a bunch of little chickens. And when we were married, she gave us a dozen pullets out of them chickens. And out of them pullets, I would use all the eggs I wanted for home use and bring 12 dozen to the store and got 10 cents a dozen for them to buy groceries with.
10 cents a dozen, for heaven's sake.
Down at Jack Booth's.
Remember Jack Booth's.
So what else do you remember about that time period and how it changed how you were living?
We just continually fought the dirt. And as far as food, we didn't have a great abundance. Like most everybody else that lived out here, we ate a lot of potatoes and beans and gravy and things like that. But I don't ever remember feeling deprived. You know, nobody had anything.
Well, didn't your folks have their own meat?
No refrigeration. If they butchered, it was usually divided, you know, and hang a quarter of beef up on the windmill tower when it was enough to freeze. Mm-hmm.
That was good eating,
and
too.
Wrapped in a sheet.
Right.
Yeah.
Keep the dust and stuff off of it.
Mildred, what did you bring Mama? Was it cream?
Eggs, I think.
Eggs? You know,
well,
Mama.
I peddled eggs for a long time here in town, but that was
more
after the...
She gave the piano lessons. In exchange for eggs and cream and milk, different things.
If the Raleigh man happened to come around, you'd give him a couple of old fat hands.
I remember the Raleigh man. Watkins and Raleigh both came around.
Who's the Raleigh man?
Well, he sold all kinds. He sold vanilla. My mother always got their pure vanilla.
Yeah.
New seasonings and all different kind of... I just remember seasonings and spices. Some medicine.
Medicines and things that you could get. Mm-hmm. And things like that, because I still got some sitting out.
Oh, you have? Good. Great.
And you would trade chickens or hens? He would come, and that'd be acceptable to him?
They'd take them to some market and get what's
their money. Mm-hmm. Is that or nothing for them?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So...
Well, what about you all and the way it changed your lives, maybe, when that came in, started?
To me? Well, we still had plenty of food. We never did get on welfare because we always had food.
Could you get welfare then?
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah. You could or not, but I bet you could. They called it something else on the county.
They called it WPA, didn't they?
They called it on the county, remember?
But that's WPA was a... program
work.
To
work
give you
project.
Work.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
but
you had work for
Dad
you.
Never
had
did get on it.
Well, my dad didn't either. He might have had to borrow a little money at the bank, but he didn't get any.
You remember WPA programs coming in?
Mm-hmm. I do.
But I can't remember. Oh, they built county roads. What did they do?
They built our schoolhouse.
They built that first.
Did they build the schoolhouse?
After they tore the old rock one down, the WPA built the school.
Mm-hmm.
The grades, well, it was high school, too.
Oh, while I think about it, at one time we had 62 schools in this county. 62.
I remember seeing
one on
some of the little
section.
Yeah, the little rural school. I remember seeing that on the map over there, all the different.
Mm-hmm.
And now, how many?
There's Plainview and
about five.
Lake City, Keys, about five.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, we went from second grade to eighth grade in a little one room schoolhouse on the river.
Mm-hmm. In the Burnett School.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When the teacher stayed at our house.
Who was it?
We had many of them.
Oh.
Some couldn't take it, so they'd quit. And then we'd get another one.
What were you doing to them?
Kids.
What were you doing to those teachers?
Well, we were just rotten kids, I guess. I remember one time we said a word she didn't like. She scrubbed our mouths with soap and salt.
Oh, no.
And our lips swelled. Made my dad so mad. And we didn't... We didn't like her too well. So she quit and we had to get another teacher.
But do you know in Norma Jean Young's books that came out and they were listing all the schools?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't have the Prairie View School in there anywhere.
The Plainview?
Prairie View.
Prairie View. Oh, I don't know where that is.
That's where we.
That's where you went.
Yeah, that's where I started.
Well, I started over at Sunny Slope.
Yeah.
Well, was that in east of where you lived then?
No, no, it was north.
North of where
north
you lived.
And west.
Yeah.
And when I said something about, well, there wasn't any, and I said, I know there is because I have a certificate from
Prairie View.
Roy Nall and his wife Todd and Blanche Miles.
Well,
Irma Eicher.
And did Lady Hall teach there too?
No.
She did.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
I tell you, everybody bartered. One person would have something, you know, like old times.
Mm-hmm.
And like my mother, trade music lessons for eggs. And did your girls take music from her?
No, they never did take music.
Mm-hmm.
You heard a story about it. A couple trading two cows in for a car.
Then I would have been a bit surprised.
The garage took the cows just like it was normal. Chickens to the Raleigh man.
A car back in them days didn't cost you about $300 or $400.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely.
I remember a little car our dad bought us. What was it? This was in 1940, though. It was about $700 or $800. Little mm-hmm. Plymouth, brand new coupe, Plymouth.
And back in the dirty days, my husband planted some wheat one time, and it came up, and it wasn't worth anything. There was no moisture. It didn't make very much. But what we did cut, we sold for 25 cents a bushel.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I think 20 cents. 26 was what Dad got.
Yeah,
but
bushel.
He had...
Whole bushel.
Mm. Yes. How old was I?
No, I say a whole bushel.
Oh, yeah.
That's a shame.
Yes.
That's
well,
awful.
Dad had, he had a big crop of wheat he leased from Darsh's, the Latham land.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a good crop. And he was going over to Mr. Reagan. Alec Reagan's. And he was going to have us a real nice home built. And just before he left to go over there, he got the market on the radio. And that stopped that.
Because everything went down.
26 cents a bushel is what he got for his wheat.
So you had a lot of food, but maybe it sounds like you... didn't have a lot else. Is that right?
You didn't. No money to buy it with.
Didn't get a new Easter outfit every year, did we?
But I don't think you did either. We didn't feel deprived.
Yeah?
No, we didn't think.
Well, you know, it's just nobody. Well, maybe one or two families.
It's out of flour sacks.
We didn't feel deprived.
I know many a night the dirt would blow all day and fill the windows. And as quick as the wind went down, we got the broom and the buckets and brushes and went to cleaning up.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it would stay that way till maybe 8 or 10 o'clock the next morning when the dirt had hit again, and it was all to do over every day.
Did that become your primary chore of the, you know, is cleaning the house?
Just about.
Well, you'd have to look after the animals and that sort of thing. And I remember my dad watching the sky all the time. Looking for clouds.
Yeah.
Hoping for rain.
Right.
See, a hopeful-looking cloud, he'd be so happy. Then it'd go this way or that way or something.
And on wash day, we didn't have all this automatic stuff then. I washed on a board with a boiler that heat on the oil stove, the water on the oil stove, and then tubs and washboard. Wash my clothes. Maybe I'd get them hung out and look out, and here would come the dirt. I'd have to go grab them and get them in the house before they'd even get dry.
Right. How was doing laundry? This is just something I just started asking the last group of ladies, but it seems to me an incredible task to keep things clean and all of that.
It was terrible.
So how would you boiled your water on the stove, pour it in and something and scrub on the board?
And put the clothes in there and boil them to try to get them bleached out and white, nice looking. And many a time I've hung them just on the line and looked in southwest and here come the dirt and would have to take them down and bring them inside and cover them up.
Does that sound familiar to all you? How did you do laundry? How was a laundry day done there at your house?
You know, I can't remember, really.
When did Mom finally get the...
She must have worked on the board, though.
Yeah, we got a maid tank. I was trying to say, a gasoline-powered.
Oh, yeah.
But when?
We did have one later on, but not...
Well, it was. We got one before we moved to town.
In the early
20s. Later 20s, I think.
In one room, you wouldn't have had room for it.
No. That noisy thing.
We needed the wash water on the stove, kind of like that. And
I didn't have a stove quite like that. I've had an oil stove, and then one three or four burner oil
stove. Yeah, we had one of those, too. Perfection brand.
When do you all remember getting your motorized washer?
We're trying to think.
I can't remember.
It was gasoline powered. Ours was. And you stepped on something and started it.
You pushed down on that pedal and started it.
What you call it? You had to have a door open so you could put the exhaust pipe outside, or it would
stand there.
So the
when it was,
I don't remember.
I think it was about 29, something like that.
And you started
getting... I didn't get one that soon.
I think it must have been in the 30s before we got ours.
I think it could have been. I've slept since then.
It's been more than 2 hours ago.
Well, I just can't imagine having to do your wash with the washboard and the boiling and all that, and then having all that dirt to contend with.
It was pretty bad.
Fun, I'll tell you that for sure.
Pretty bad on the mamas, I know that.
But you had to have fuel. Well, she had kerosene, but we had the coal and the wood stove. Mm-hmm. But we also, that was one of our chores after school. We went out into the pastures and picked up cow chips to burn.
I've heard of cow chip burning.
Yeah.
But that
and
was in
corn
the...
cobs. We, yeah. Dad would
yeah, try the corn cobs.
In the 30s, you were out picking up cow chips to burn?
Sure were.
I've heard of them doing that, but we had plenty of wood on the river. Yeah. We didn't have to burn cow chips.
Up there where they had more wood.
A lot of, you know, driftwood. We used driftwood and coal.
We usually took a tub, didn't we? Between us, we'd take a wash tub and go out in the pasture and pick up the chow chips.
Pick the dry ones up.
That was one of our chores.
Every
time. And it took that wash tub just to warm up the house, didn't
it? Yeah, because they burned just really, just really fast. Yeah, they were gone, but they were a
corn
source
cobs
of heat.
Too?
Yes, if you had
corn cobs.
Yeah, corn and hogs, well, they'd eat the corn off of the cobs, and then you could get them up and burn them.
Well, and when they shelled the corn, that's when they had the most, when they'd shell corn.
What about living in town? What would you use for fuel or...
I can hardly remember.
Remember you picking up
some gas.
I think we did have natural gas stove.
Right, by that time.
I can't remember when it came to Boise City, but maybe about 1927, 28. But we did have natural gas. Well, when we first came, Mama had a kerosene cook stove. But she didn't like that very well.
Did you?
They were dangerous.
Big old heating stove.
To heat the house or heat your room with?
We did. Of course, we had coal.
Shaped like this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We had those in the bedrooms, I remember.
I can't. My mind's a little blank.
How was other chores affected by the dust? Like cooking or kitchen work seems like it'd be tough to do as well. I mean,
you'd
to bake
to clean
and
before you could cook, I know that.
I heard one lady say that when her mother set the table, she turned the plates upside down till they got the meal ready, and then they would turn the plates back up, and you could see the ring where the plate had been.
Isn't that
on the
a
table.
Shame? Yeah. Isn't that awful?
Baking bread, and it seems like it'd be hard to get grit free.
I imagine we ate some dirt.
I said we did.
Quite a bit, maybe.
You know, we walked to school, though, and I guess maybe the folks at take us some, but we walked most of the time, walked home in the evening.
I remember our grandmother had dust pneumonia.
Yeah.
She lived with us, and she had dust pneumonia, and they got, I believe the doctor's name was Dr. Wilson.
Well, there was a Wilson here
Dr.
in town.
Wilson.
We had a Dr. Wilson here.
I think he was the one that they got to come out there. But she lived. She lived through it.
He and his wife committed suicide.
Yes, both of them.
Dr. Wilson.
Yeah. What did you say, Betty?
When did you move to town?
35.
You remember other people having the health problems because of the dust?
Oh, everybody had.
So many of them left.
Oh, yes.
They went to California.
Went to California.
Mm-hmm. We stayed through all of it, and I guess all of you did.
Yeah,
stay
we did.
I was trying to think how many, you know, the Allens and the Wamucks and the Campbells, all
the Turners.
Along, and Turners all along our, in our vicinity, Dolls. All left.
You had a lot of friends and family, neighbors and relatives leaving.
When was it really over? What year? Does anybody remember? When we had rain and the dust stopped?
1940 when we had rain, wasn't it?
1941.
40 and 41. Mm-hmm. One house I lived in was so open and everything that of a night we had to put sheets over the top of our bed to go to sleep. And I had one girl, little girl, she was about 2 to 3 years old, and I had to put that over her bed so she could sleep.
Mm-hmm. If you didn't, you'd wake up mm-hmm. covered in...
too much dust.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The homes were not insulated,
no.
And the windows were not...
they didn't fit good anyway.
Fit well like they do now. No,
were
they weren't cracked right and everything.
You could get and tape and... try to seal
mm-hmm.
them shut, but it seemed to come right on through anyway.
Yeah, it knew its way.
Well, why did, or what kept all of you from moving away? If so many of your friends and
didn't
neighbors...
have money to do it.
They had money to move, so they did. And
I guess they had some. I don't know. We didn't have any.
Maybe it was over about the time
we had sold horses and gave it to one of our neighbors so they could leave.
He gave the money away.
Yeah, he
gave it to them.
Because... the mother
was sick.
His camel was sick, and he sold his horses.
Huh.
Maybe about the time that Denver. People were ready to give up, it rained.
I don't think Dad ever would have given up.
My dad wouldn't either, because
you asked why we stayed.
Yeah.
He had 800 acres of his own land, and then, like I said, he leased, but they stayed to hold on to that land.
It just seems like so many people left
mm-hmm.
that they had land, you know, they had land and hopes and dreams, but they took off. And there had to have been some difference.
Neighbors probably buy it for nothing, you know, maybe.
Well, the place I'm living on right now, I think we bought it in 40 or 41, and I think we give about $10 an acre for it. It's 160.
You want to sell it anytime soon?
I'm still living
okay.
there.
Okay, all right. So you think that, one, you didn't have money to leave, and two, you just weren't going to leave.
Too
you
much
had too much,
pride.
Too much
just
at stake.
They just waited for it to be over. They knew it would end sometime. They were natives, and they stayed.
They didn't have the dust out around Canton like we had here in town mm-hmm. because it was all grassland.
But
and
this ground here, go on. What? Go on. Finish what you started saying.
About it being different in Kenton than here, mm-hmm. dustier here.
It wasn't nearly as bad out there.
How far east did it extend? Do you know?
Oh, clear
down northern
Kansas.
Yeah, but I mean the east west. Did it go clear to nearly to Tulsa?
Well, now. John Barnes always said that some of his folks down around Oklahoma City said the dust would come in down there.
Mm-hmm. You've heard dust stories come from from Stillwater, Oklahoma City, mm-hmm. All the way through to here, and it seems like about Woodward, they stop being dust storms. It starts being just kind of dusty, mm-hmm. you know, which is what everybody lives with. But from Woodward East or Woodward West, we found. Mm-hmm. A big change in the stories and their recollections.
I think that's probably right.
The dust had just kind of settled in, and they just thinking the world was coming to an end, but it wasn't out here where the dirt was low.
Well, they were living through what you saw.
You have to be kind of tough to stay, stick it out.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people that moved on, you know, that picked up and left, came through, and we've heard a lot of stories about tramps and hobos and whatnot coming under.
We had that.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear about that from you living in town. Everybody else we've talked to is
my mother
out.
Always had something for them to eat. She never turned anyone away.
Mm-hmm. That seems like it would be hard to when you're kind of scraping by yourself. you know, just barely feeding the family, then somebody comes knocking on the door. What would you...
But she always... And they'd sit on the back step or somewhere. And
yeah.
What would she round up for them? Do you remember?
Well, I can't remember.
Make them a sandwich or something. We had gypsies that came
to
the ranch.
We had gypsies here,
gypsies.
Too.
Yeah, they came clear down to the ranch. She was making baking bread. She's just getting it out of the oven, and they came, a whole bunch of them. Women with big skirts and all, and our school was just a quarter of a mile up the road. And they knocked on the door, and they wanted food, and they wanted money. And she said,
who doesn't, actually?
Yes, it doesn't, everybody.
They wanted, and she grabbed the bread that she had taken out, maybe three big loaves, gave them that, and gave them a little something else, and told them to go on up the road, and they left. They didn't do any harm, but they got that far. It was 9 miles to the highway. They got that far off, and... Huh. Scared her to death, nearly.
Well, what about gypsies in town?
The gypsies in town?
Yeah, you said you remember
those.
They
would camp up there, well, you know where, Frank Walton's insurance. Across the street, Mr. McGowan had a filling station. Mm-hmm. And they would camp kind of behind. It was all, there was no buildings back there.
Yeah.
And I can remember those gypsies. Real well. Of course, they sure liked our store, too.
Yeah, yeah. But do they?
Would you try and lock the door or when you saw them coming? Or?
No, I can't remember that we did. We weren't afraid of the gypsies.
Mm-mm. She was, because she's by herself.
Right.
And
yeah.
They would steal, too. They would take
they
things,
would.
Put them in these big old dresses and cover them up, you know.
Would they steal from the store? Do you remember them taking things or your parents talking
sure.
about
well,
it?
I think they did.
I think they took a plenty out of it because you couldn't be that. I heard one man say he was standing watching a fellow one day and he stole a whole lot and he was standing there watching him and he didn't see him steal this, but he did.
Huh.
Just a slick that you just...
Well, they're good at it. There's still groups of gypsies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if I'm coming out my way. Mm-hmm.
That you didn't see any gypsies coming.
They're probably
what about you guys?
Brave now.
Well, yeah. There was one bunch that came to a place over west of us, you know, when we went to school at Sunny Slope. And I don't know if it's right, but they said they threw some stuff in the little girl's eyes. And now, why, I don't know. That was, Lowens or Penners or some of those.
I remember that.
But.
You know, there were tramps that came by when we lived in the country, and Mom always had something for them. And then when we moved to town, we lived north of the railroad tracks, and there were forever hobos stopping there. And they always told us that if they ever found a place where they could eat, they marked it somehow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they did it, but we had a lot of people stop. And Mom never turned... I don't know what she fed him, but she never turned anybody.
It must have been something good.
I heard a man say his wife always kept cornbread on hand and gave him some cornbread and maybe milk or something like that.
Would you ask them to do work around the yard or something?
No.
I wouldn't. Well, I don't
get rid
so.
Of them as fast as... Yeah,
get rid of them.
Well, where do you think these gypsies came from? This
Europe?
Shelley and I remember the first time we heard gypsy stories, we never heard anything like that before.
I don't know where they came from.
Remember that movie long years ago? The Gypsy? That story of the gypsies? Years ago.
Were they
called? It was called the Golden Ring or something like that.
I don't remember.
Depicted
their
life in Europe.
Didn't they come from Bulgaria in Europe?
So they were heavily European. I mean, you can tell they weren't.
Oh, yeah, they were.
And they were just wandering around the panhandle of Oklahoma stealing chickens.
Yeah, they stole chickens.
I bet they did, too. I don't know. I don't remember ever having any come to my folks' place, or to me even, any gypsies like that.
Well, were they the same as Bedouins?
Mm-hmm. No, the Bedouins are more or less... Arabs that live in the desert and have their camel groups.
The gypsy story certainly is interesting. But the tramps and the hobos, you were just mainly kind of, they would come in and then you would get them out. I mean, feed them and...
Well, usually they were never let into the house. If I remember right, you gave them something outside. You didn't let them in.
No, you never
But they would just go on up the road or go on to town or whatever.
Yeah.
We didn't have... We might have had a hobo or two that far out. But I don't think we had
any problems. We're out of existence now.
Yeah, way out there.
Off the main roads mm-hmm. and everything like that. They mm-hmm. tried to stay, I think, more on the main mm-hmm. roads.
Yeah, but the gypsies just made one trip.
Boys traveled in wagons. Covered, yeah. didn't they?
Right, huh?
They traveled in covered wagons.
The gypsies?
Uh-huh.
But these were in a car.
Oh.
mm-hmm. The vehicle.
I've heard tales of both.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they did travel earlier in
the ones
wagons.
I remember.
This
they parked
the
wagons
vehicle.
There behind the McGowan filling station.
Well, how did the coming of the Dust Bowl and the drought and all of that hurt the town, the downtown? I mean, it would seem like that would be a businesses would go out and whatnot. Do you remember a big change in the way the town looked at all? I mean, did it, you know, drop down, turn into a ghost town at all, or?
I guess we went to high school here, and
yeah,
I graduated.
In that old board building?
Yeah, during some of that dust bowl.
Yes.
But then
yeah,
I
we did.
Left. Hmm? I was gone my junior and senior, or no, sophomore and junior.
Yeah. I went on 4 years here.
I did, too.
And it was... Wasn't so terribly bad, was it?
Well, we walked to school, so it must have been not too bad early in the morning. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Unless it was real cold, then we didn't walk. Or real dusty. Lots of times they just turned out school.
Yeah, they would close the... Well,
but I remember that red brick building, that grade school...
Yes.
Of course, they didn't have the fire laws then, but they would chain those back doors so that we only had one door we could get out in case of fire. And I always worried about that because, you remember that? They would chain those back doors.
Why would they do that?
Why?
Well, the wind would, you know.
Oh, yeah, they would pick up.
And then kids would run out that way and...
Leave the doors open.
Mm-hmm. Leave the doors open.
So we just fixed it by by locking it.
Well, when I started school, I was in 27, and I graduated in 31. So the dirt storm was just starting about the time I graduated. Because after that's when I had all the dirt and everything.
So you don't remember any big changes in the town itself, the size of the town?
We had quite a few little businesses in town. I remember... We had two or three drug stores, and we had two or three grocery stores. And let's see, we had one or two clothing stores, and we had filling stations. One, two, three, five or six filling stations in town.
I think we had more businesses than we do now. Really?
Oh, yeah, we did.
And it was all up and down Main Street and around the square. All those were occupied, you know.
Yeah, and the motel out west.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like
we
said,
did have more businesses.
Excuse me, two banks at one
time. Yeah, we had. And we just recently got two banks here, you know, the Keys Bank. But then we had, the Citizens? What was it called?
The Citizens was over where the caboose is now.
Yeah.
Mr. Slack.
Then the First State's been where it is now forever, hadn't it?
Yes, mm-hmm. just about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we had the Ford Garage and a Chevrolet Garage. And
thriving. Mm-hmm. They did well.
Yeah.
Did a lot of those go out when the dust storms hit?
Mm-hmm. They stayed right on through.
They stayed right through.
In the Plymouth Garage.
Oh, and we had two or three lumber yards.
Or did he just go to
the Star?
I think he might have let Roy have some money to start with.
Yeah.
What
else?
But
we had a lot of business.
Well, I wonder what's in I stopped and looked in that old place not long ago to see if I could see my old Packard in there. It wasn't there.
And how many doctors did we have? And we had a dentist.
About four doctors?
Yes.
We had a dentist. We don't have a dentist now.
Or an optometrist.
No, we don't.
Used to.
No, it's a... Yeah. It was thriving more than it is now, really, business-wise.
Well, you didn't have to have a lot of business to make a living, really.
Mm-mm. Didn't cost much to live, did it?
It didn't cost much.
Well, how did these businesses survive if none of you had any money?
That's what... Well, they'd come in our store and have 15 cents and get a sack full of something.
I don't know. I've wondered how they did. But now there's a Snap's Chevrolet Garage. They seem to just always do well. The Ford Garage did great. Yeah. I remember when they brought
Showalter Garage had Willie's.
Mm-hmm.
And
early Showalter had the the Packards and the
Willie's
Ambassadors. Mm-hmm. And what were those others? What were those cars?
Well, wasn't it
Plymouth? Yeah, mm-hmm. He had the Plymouth.
Somebody was giving him money.
Well, there was people that had land. They were able to borrow money to keep going.
A lot of it was coming through mortgages and things
like
that.
That's where a lot of it came from.
You remember your parents getting in debt more during that period? Or?
Well, we were too young at that.
We didn't worry about it.
I don't think Dad did, though, because
there was a lien on some of them.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were good managers. You know, my dad was a lot better manager than my ex-husband was.
Back to the questions. Well, do you remember having any particular views towards the new president, like Roosevelt coming in? I know some of you might be too young to remember that, but...
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Like how your parents felt about the New Deal and the big government and the government coming in and... I know some people were really thinking it was a good thing, and other people thought it was the worst thing.
My dad thought it was great. He was a Democrat, no matter what.
Yeah.
Whatever they did was wonderful.
Well, you talk about the government coming in. This is going back a little, but it got so bad that there was no feed or anything for the cattle, and the government bought the cattle for just a few dollars a head and killed them.
Yep. Yeah.
We lost about all of our cattle that way.
And
just paid us so much and shot the cattle and hauled them off some places.
Oh,
I guess
very high.
Isn't that awful?
One thing FDR did was, I can remember my husband, they had a big ranch. They had a lot of cattle. And they raised the feed, and they raised feed through the 30s because they were kind of protected, but FDR had so many of the cattle shot. I don't know why, but...
Yeah. Well, you felt like it was giving... At least somebody was buying the cattle from you. I mean, you got some money for them.
And there wasn't feed for them, so they reduced that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he established the CCCs. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And that helped, gave a lot of people work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it sounds like the general consensus was positive towards that.
Oh, yeah.
Towards the New Deal.
I think so.
Towards his plans. Well, having lived through that period of time, and obviously surviving, what do you think? Do you think it had any lasting impressions on you or things that you brought? You know, do you look at the weather now with more fear, or are there traits or things that you brought out of that period of time, you know, that you can identify in yourself today?
Oh, I think it probably taught us economics and that, not to be wasteful and think maybe that could happen again. You better put a couple of dollars back somewhere.
I've been thinking of that all morning long. That's exactly what I thought. It taught us that when you had a little money, you better save some of it because something might come up any time that you would want to need that money.
I remember my mother telling me one time to always be frugal and save. She said, "I don't think I've ever wasted a tablespoon of flour." That's just what she said, you know.
I think those times gave us a strong work ethic.
I don't remember your mother.
And brown eyes, dark red hair.
You remember Pop, though.
Take care of you.
Yeah.
He came to town once.
To not be afraid of hard work.
Mm-hmm. I really think it did.
You think that carries through with you right now to this day?
Oh, yes. It makes us very grateful for what we have now.
It seems like young people now, if they want to go to work, they do, and if they don't, they don't.
No.
They just...
No, they just do what they want.
Yeah.
Somebody feeds them. I see that every day.
Back then, you didn't get very much money to work. Mm-mm. And I can remember our dad always said, "Give an honest day's work for an honest day's for an honest dollar, because that's about all you got back then."
I remember when I went to Oklahoma City in 40, I thought it was I was secretary to Julius Cox that this building.
Building. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He took me down to as his secretary, and he says it's going to pay $150 a month. I got there; it was $180. I was thrilled to death. Yeah, get fine. Just a lot of money.
Well, the first job I ever had was that out of high school was working for Dr. Harry Hall, and I worked 54 hours a week for $5.
For heaven's sake,
$54
a month,
6 days.
No, I never did have one of those.
Well, back in the 20,
and she worked there before I did.
In the 28 or 29, I helped a neighbor lady during wheat harvest. They had little wheat, and I helped her for one solid week for 50 cents a day.
Yep.
For heaven's sake. Mm-hmm.
I bet you didn't get paid very much to work in that store.
You got your clothing and your food, didn't you?
Right.
And dimed and went to show.
For that.
We had a theater then.
Oh, yeah, we did.
We had a skating rink part of the time.
Well,
bowling alley.
Bowling alley, nice bowling alley.
When money was scarce and you were young, what would you do for fun? What was entertainment to you all?
We didn't require much, did we?
Well,
I don't remember anything we actually did during the 30s because it was just so bad. We just didn't You didn't have the gas to drive anywhere if you wanted to go unless it was an emergency.
Well, when we still lived in the country, though, ever so often we'd have an ice cream social or something. Yeah. Neighbors all gang up at one place because most of the time we had milk for that,
We went to the theater every Saturday afternoon for a nickel.
Yeah, it was a nickel. I forgot what it was. Yeah. I was thinking it was a dime.
Well, later it was, I think. Get in
and that is really a beautiful theater. It's a big shame. You should see the inside of this theater. Isn't it? It's a beautiful theater.
I've never been in it.
Not since Freddie fixed it? You didn't? Oh, it's fantastic. It's probably the nicest theater I've ever been in.
Where is it?
Down here on Main Street?
North Main Street.
North Main? Brown Front. On your left as you go to town, almost to the square, look on your left, a brown front. And it's a beautiful, beautiful...
And next door to the
store. Okay.
Well, they leased it, and these people have closed down. I saw a truck there the other day. I guess I hope they're not hauling away some of the beautiful things that were in there. So, there's a coat of arms. There's everything beautiful in there.
So movies were an option to you during the 30s, mm-hmm. during the Depression.
I know so many people were caught in there the day of the Black April the 14th. They had an awful time getting home.
Was that when the theater was east, west of the drugstore?
Yeah,
there?
Uh-huh. Mr. Oliver had it.
Oliver.
That's
where
it was.
Eddie Oliver. I remember them. First movie I ever saw was at that, The Covered Wagon, west of the drugstore.
So what else would you do to entertain yourselves?
The neighbors, of course, we'd have neighbors, and we'd all play ball, and till time to get supper, then we'd cook, run the sweeper so we could go to bed.
Running around with your buddies.
Ice cream socials.
They had. And another thing, we had the maypole in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they have that anymore.
No.
That was so pretty.
Yeah, that was nice.
That home.
Yeah, the maypole.
Well, down on the ranch, we made our own fun. If it snowed, we went and took a sled. We had a homemade sled and a box sled. Run up on the hill, slide down the hill. And we'd ride, and we'd skate in the old bedrooms.
Now what now?
Skate, roller skate.
Oh,
we learned to roller skate. We didn't have sidewalks out there, so we skated around the beds in the bedroom.
They must have been bigger rooms than I've got then, if you could skate around the bed.
Yeah, we had two pretty good-sized old bedrooms, and we'd skate around those beds. Pull a headboard out, pull it out from it. That's how we learned. My brother was an excellent skater, but I wasn't that good.
You learned to turn circles real good, I bet.
Yeah.
The church had activities once in a while, didn't they?
Sure, we had all the churches were here then, weren't they?
Oh, yeah.
What was the predominant religion at the time then or now?
Baptist and Methodist. My mother's Christian Science. They didn't have her church here.
You two were saying you made your own fun as well out there. What would you do, or what do you recall doing?
Swimming on stilts and tin cans, and
we'd
make
that
what
too.
We call them Tommy Walkers. We'd poke holes in the cans and put string in them, and then walk on them.
My mom made those for me.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And we had croquet and marbles and, you know.
I never did do that.
You probably played in the horse tank, didn't you?
How'd they make those walkers?
Swam.
With cans?
Yeah, we took cans. And the higher the can, the better.
You know. We never did do that. We did still, so Dad made a still.
Oh, yeah, we had
still. Didn't you have leech, rook?
We never did.
Another thing, the boys had more than anything, they would carve guns out of wood, you know, and then you had inner tubes, you know, for your tires there.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd get what was left, you know, they'd patch them till they just almost gone, but you'd cut them through, you know, just like a circle. Put a clothespin on the end of that wooden gun and stretch out inner tubes. And if you got them long enough and strong enough, they could really hurt you if you turn loose of that clothespin.
I think kids had more fun then than
we
they
did. We did. We didn't lack fun.
No, we didn't lack fun.
Why do you think it was more fun then?
More initiative.
Just making our own fun.
We had more initiative. You developed that, and you didn't have every little toy that you cried about.
Well, and now kids always say, well, I'm so bored.
Well, they practiced ball, and they had ball games at night.
Let me see, it was dirty, you had no money, you're walking to school, skating in the bedroom, I don't know.
We had a good time.
We did.
My brother and I, we weren't fighting, we were playing. Matching the bulls fight. We'd have bulls that hated each other. We'd get them together and get them to fight until our dad got on what we were doing.
Well, some of them used to make dads mad if we rode the milk thin calves, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, we didn't. He didn't let us do that.
One thing I was wanting to hit on that we've been talking about sometimes is how before big storms, the animals would act differently, or you might be able to tell.
Did the horses particularly?
They ran.
They ran and jumped up and down and acted kind of crazy. They did.
Yeah, and all the cows would gather all up together.
Gathered together.
Up toward the north, however that's coming from.
The horses particularly, and the cattle would gather up in a corner maybe, along the fence, and the horses would almost tell you if something was. But it happened about every day anyway, you know, so.
It became normal.
It became normal.
Do you guys have any recollection of that going on, the odd animal activity?
Yeah, it was about the same thing they did.
We had
horses. She's out on a farm, and they had all them animals. Mm-hmm. She did. We had some, but we didn't have that many. Of course, you see, I was married around the in 1931, and that's just about the time the Dust Bowl started. My husband and I had a few cattle and some hogs and stuff like that. We didn't have bigger stuff like they did.
Yeah.
What was your husband's first name?
John.
John. I started school with Charlie Stringfellow.
As his brother.
What was his brother?
Charlie. We always called him Snooks.
and start school with him.
Do you remember like Christmas time during this period when there was so little to go around, what you all did for Christmas?
We got one present.
What Santa Claus brought?
Get a pair of skates, or you might get
a doll.
I didn't like dollies, so I didn't get them. Got some new clothes or something I needed.
My folks would always load up the car and go to Wichita for Christmas. Drive all night long. Come home the day after Christmas. So.
Was it family there? Or mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of the family was there.
My parents said that for Christmas, they both gave them large families, they'd get some fruit. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Rare to get an orange, they mm-hmm. said. Oranges were not
Mama
plentiful.
Said they would get one orange.
Get some fruit.
Mm-hmm. Well, they would get an orange for Christmas mm-hmm. when she was young.
Usually, too, we usually got a doll. I don't know what the boys yeah. got. But then at the country schools would usually have a Christmas program, you know. I mean, they'd get a
we
tree,
did.
And then mm-hmm. there were usually there was usually a sack of candy or something. I don't know how they did it for kids, you know, but there was usually something.
So the schools kind of took over a little bit of,
well,
of the Christmas.
They kind of
right.
get together. Yeah. We would get together sometimes with the Hurley School that was on the flats, first school on the flats, and have a program. I remember, more we'd practice than we'd sing, and we'd have a heck of a good time.
Let's see here. Oh, we had a couple of things come up that's interesting, sometimes about the rabbit drives that were held.
Yeah. Oh, I'd forgotten that. That was awful.
And
there were also an awful lot of rats at that time. You remember they tried to pour water down through the holes, you know, to drown them out. There was an awful lot of rats at that time, too.
Just in your house? In
yeah, well, everywhere around the barns, they were just all over.
We didn't have rats.
How would you get rid of the rats?
You didn't very well. They tried to drown them out a time or two.
Well, and they trapped them and tried to have them. And I remember one of her neighbor boys got bit through the back of his neck.
That.
By a rat?
By a rat. Mm-hmm. It might.
That was Ray Dahl.
What were they? The pack rats or what were they?
Just
big old gray
just
rats?
Big old rats. I don't know.
He was sleeping and he...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a neighbor boy.
Oh, my. In the house. I remember those rabbit drives. People, mm-hmm. they use a club.
Yeah.
And get those rabbits in a corner. They were eating what there was to eat, you know, eating the cattle's grass and food, what little bit. So, kill them that way with clubs.
I was looking through some pictures last night, and out there where I live, I don't remember when it was, but I think there was a little snow on the ground, and I took a picture of them, and there was 50 rabbits in one little strip there in that picture that I took.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
That was just a touch of them. When the school bus had come by, it was worse than a herd of cattle coming out of the wheat fields and things. Them rabbits would be so big.
Mm-hmm. Jackrabbits, weren't mm-hmm. they? Mm-hmm.
Did you participate in any of the rabbit drives?
No.
Did anybody?
I think my dad and my brother did, but we didn't.
No, my dad didn't.
They probably took guns, too, did they? Or would they?
I think
clubs.
They did.
Mm-hmm. Guns, I guess.
Clubs are cheaper, probably.
Yeah, that might be.
I know one thing I wanted to tell you. Back in the 30s, every Sunday afternoon, my dad played clarinet. Roy Butterball, Norma Jean's dad, played clarinet. And my mother played the piano, and then we had two or three people one from Keys and one from Texoma. We had about five or six in the band. They would come to our house and practice all afternoon. And Mrs. Butterball would sit and listen and enjoy it. And they did that every Sunday afternoon.
Did they play dances and things as well together?
No, they didn't,
Just played for the fun of it?
Just for their own enjoyment.
There seems to be a lot of musicians in this town. And I don't know if that's normal but everybody had musicians in their families, one way or the other. or married somebody that did or something.
I remember somebody, Bob White, telling me about your mother and her brother, one of them playing the piano, the other was in the organ one afternoon, and how much he enjoyed listening to her mother.
Brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Your mother-in-law, your mother played for the church for a long time, didn't she?
Oh,
and weddings
yes.
and funerals?
Oh, she played for the Methodist Church for about 45 years.
Something like that.
Played whatever came along.
Well, should we ask the bed bug question?
I want to know the answer, yes.
A couple of times we've had good stories dealing with bed bugs. And that was something we hadn't thought about running into, but have we had some stories.
Well, I can tell you one.
Yeah, let's hear it.
My folks had that nice 8-room home. It was made out of walnut from their farm. They moved out here into a shack until they got the new building done, and we got bed bugs. Oh, it was just awful.
It's awful.
Well, so she set coil, the bed legs in coil cans, or cans with coil on. We got rid of them, but we'd get bed bugs. But it was awful for about, two or three months.
If you ever got them, it was constant fight. And then maybe if you had company or something.
So you solved it by putting the bed legs
in there.
Kerosene.
Tin cans with kerosene.
That kept them from getting up there?
That's why they got there, huh? We didn't have... My mother's always looking for them, but I don't know if she ever found them. She'd go up... The hired man stayed out in above the garage in a room, and I remember she'd go out there every so often, turn that mattress every way but loose, and take kerosene on a rag and rub along the seams, you know.
Yeah.
Always looking for bed bugs.
She me too.
A lot tidier than I am.
Well, my folks, but that was back earlier in the 30s. When we first came to this company, we lived in a dugout. I lived in a dugout for several years. Then my dad went over on the state line and got a 2-story house and brought it up there. And the two stories... The 2 rooms down below were finished, but the upstairs wasn't quite finished. So he goes to Texline, gets some lumber, and seals that upstairs in it. And when he got that lumber, it had bed bugs in it. And you think my mother didn't have a time then?
Mm-hmm. In the lumber.
They were in that lumber.
Mm-hmm.
She just bought them.
I did too. I never did see one that I know of.
Well, I bet if you ever saw one, you'd know the next one.
Something I was wondering not long ago, that we used to see lightning bugs.
Oh,
have you all seen a lightning bug?
I've never seen one out
in
here.
In 100 years?
Not out here. I've seen some back east.
A little bit on the river. But the Canadian River was full of lightning bugs.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we used to see them. They're wonderful. They're pretty little things.
I saw them about 2 years ago in Washington, or Gettysburg, I guess.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Lightning bugs.
Oh, my daughter-in-law went back to Iowa to insurance school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so she finally asked them, said, what in the world? She didn't know what they were.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw a lot back there.
Is that fluorescent? Something fluorescent on the back? Or what is that?
I don't know.
Was in southeast Kansas. We'd go back there to visit while they would see some lightning.
I just don't know if they have them anymore, do they?
They're all over Stillwater.
Yeah, Missouri.
They are.
Somebody was saying, I can't remember who said, they saw some here not too long ago, but I can't remember who it was.
You can sit on your front porch and see hundreds in the summertime.
I've been in Montana 25 years. It's too cold up there. I didn't see any lightning bugs up there.
Well, I wanted to ask them about... I don't remember what it was called now, the black bead medicine.
Oh, yeah, asafoetida.
Well, I don't think we ever...
No. I've seen
we
it.
Didn't have any.
They tied it around their neck, just ward off the bugs. And it's made... Is it made out of onions?
I don't know what it's made out of.
Is it flat? Is it flat, or is it like a ball?
I just
ball
remember
or?
Seeing it on a cousin.
I don't remember. I had to wear some of it one
in a little
time
bag.
When the flu was being bad.
Little
my
bag.
Dad made me wear some of that when
it's
I was...
It's in a bag?
They put it in a little bag.
Mama talked about having to wear it.
I've heard about it, but I never...
I don't know what it is.
A little piece of something square, something like that, and I think it was black. Mm-hmm. But, oh, it had several over
I was,
to it.
I don't know what it was made of.
I don't
what
know.
What was it for?
Kind of nasty.
It's supposed to keep you healthy.
Yeah. Ward off the
It doesn't
evil.
Kill you every
day. Sounds like it wore off strands and enemies.
I remember it smelled terrible. But I don't know what it was.
But that was back when the flu was real bad one time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My dad.
Well, they used to use mustard plasters, too, didn't they, for your chest when you had a cold?
Mm-hmm. Put it on the chest.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did you all deal with your bed bug problem?
Same like the kerosene.
Yeah, and put it on the mat, all around the mattresses. And,
Do they just bite you? Like you lay there at night and you'd feel them going at it?
Yeah, they start itching.
It starts itching if they bit you.
Oh, yeah, they do. We didn't have any, but she's looking for them.
My mother would, we papered the house in them days. We had wallpaper and we papered the house. And when she'd go to paper the house, her and daddy would put carbolic acid in the paste. And that helped.
I bet that would fix them.
They tear off all the old paper they could and then put new paper up and put carbolic acid in it and put that on the paper and paste it onto the walls, and that helped get rid of them.
Well, kind of as a closing question, a lot of times we ask if there's any like what to you typifies that time period, you know, like what recollection or memory do you have in your mind that to you recalls is the most vivid memory of that period to you, you know, that when you think back to the 30s and the Dust Bowl and all of that, do you have a scene in your head that comes up or an event or something that happened that to you think, oh yeah, that was the 30s?
More family. Everybody coming down out from town on Sunday to eat dinner. They used to. All the relatives would come down to the ranch on Sunday. Mama had to make cherry pie and fried chicken. And they liked it. Her health got kind of bad, so I stopped her. But anyway, family, I think.
Yeah.
More family.
Oh, I don't know. The main thing I always thought of is that it taught me to try to be saving. I had to do that so much in them days that I tried to save something so if I ever needed it, I would have it to fall back on.
And people helped each other.
Yes.
All the ranchers, they helped each other brand. They helped each other round up. They just all gather in and help everybody. You know,
well, they did the same way with the crops.
More helpful than people are now. Well,
people don't visit or nothing.
No, they don't. In a way, it was the good old days. In a way, it was.
With all the trouble we had.
Yes, sir. I think so.
I think my most vivid memory is just of the afternoon that storm came over because I was just fascinated with it. I mean, that sticks out. You know, I mean, I have a lot of other memories, but that just sticks out.
Yeah. What about you? Anything in particular that...
I can't remember anything particular. But I know my folks, they didn't want for anything particular that, you know, just... But I do know that we wore dresses made out of flour sacks.
Yeah.
And feed sacks,
uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
When I had all those little chickens, I'd buy the chicken, the feed, in the printed sacks, wash them, and my girls wore feed sack skirts, and we'd buy material enough to make a blouse or get a blouse to kind of match some of the color in the skirts. And they went to school a lot of the time that way.
Were those printed sacks, did they have printing on them?
Not the later ones.
No designs or anything?
Oh, yes, they had
designs.
Flowers and designs and borders.
How would you get rid of the printing?
They didn't have it on there.
Not at all?
No.
It was on a card.
Mm-hmm. My mother didn't sew, so I didn't have any of those.
And Mama didn't sew either, but she had two or three different ladies in town that would
made them
sew for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she sold.
Go ahead.
material in town.
When they went to buy a feed, you know, or something, they would try to get if it's like enough sacks just exactly alike so they could make a dress or something. I mean,
they'd pick their feed by the pattern on the bag.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Yeah, well, they did. I think the thing that I've thought about so many times, Dad would come to town, and he would bring back dried apricots and apples and all. And I've wondered so many times, big boxes of them. We mm-hmm. had fruit all the time there. Mm-hmm. A lot of people didn't, but we
had a lot
did.
Of dried fruit.
Mm-hmm. But it was always dried.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Then we'd have fresh apples, though, a lot.
Oh, yeah. They'd
come. Something else they used to do, there would be salesmen, maybe based out of Fort Worth, that would come round through the ranches and probably the farms too early in the fall, and we'd buy all kinds of goodies through the winter, staples. I remember one thing that they would buy, Dad would buy, maple butter. Did you ever hear of it?
I never did.
Best stuff you ever ate. And that, of course, that came from Vermont or somewhere, from the maple trees. And all kinds of staples. And then that would come in. You'd order it. And we'll pay for it. And then the order would come in. And he'd go down and pick it up. And that's all kind of goodies through the winter.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the falls, too, different people brought around loads of apples and peaches mm-hmm. and things and buy them. Mom canned a lot. Made jelly.
We had some apple trees, but the alkali in the water close to the river killed the trees.
Do you remember Monica used to bring a wagon load of corn and all that stuff all summer long?
And then you could go up the river and get wild plums from old Mr. Dan Island, and Mama would make a lot of jelly.
Was that the sandhill plums?
Sandhill plums. Good, too.
Made
preserves and jelly and all that good stuff.
They made good cobblers if you didn't mind spitting the seed out. Right?
Yeah, she did that once in a while. Mm-hmm.
What, was it corn that Monica called mice? Or mice?
Mm-hmm. Mice.
Mice. Mm-hmm. He called corn. He had a wagon, and, you know, he'd bring his produce to town. He lived in the country, and he had whatever produce he had, he'd bring it in and drive around and sell it.
Everybody liked Monaco, didn't
you? Know how he grew stuff in that dust storm?
I don't either. But he usually
but
always
had
Mexican.
But he always had every summer.
He lived back up north and west of town here. There were very few. He was about the only one, maybe one or two other Mexican families. Mm-hmm. Nice old man.
Yes, he was. Just, everybody liked him. Mm-hmm.
Always had good food.
Well, that corn was good. You like to eat corn off the cob?
Oh, yeah.
I do, too. I love it.
Good corn. Sometimes, it's just good, even not cooked. Sometimes it's good sweet corn. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that about wraps up what I had to say, or what I had to ask you.
Well, I want to tell you, she's talking about the dried fruit. My father went and made a little screen thing. I don't know. Now, this was before the 30s. Mm-hmm. But he made this little screen thing and put screen wire on it and stand and put little trays in there. And Mother would peel apples and put them in there and dry her own apples for the winter. And that's the way we had dried apples.
And apricots, too. I like dried fruit.
Mm-hmm. Something else I wanted to ask you guys. I've heard my mom talk about it, and I've heard some people in this project talk about canning meat, and I don't have any idea how do you can meat. Do you have to boil it or something first?
You cook it for hours, pressure cooker, or you could do it with a water bath, mm-hmm. but you just put it in the fruit jars or whatever, you know, and then you had to cook it for a long, long time.
But so you put, would it be cooked when you put it in there? It would be raw. You put it in the jars. Mm-hmm. Seal them down, mm-hmm. and then cook it away.
Mm-hmm. 4 hours
with the pressure cooker.
Well, the pressure cooker. Mm-hmm.
We used to have canned meat all summer and all winter at the ranch. Huh. They would kill two or three calves at a time and can it off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, my mother would take, when we butchered the hogs, she'd take the bacon and I know she did the sausage anyway. Take coffee cans that we have, fill that coffee can full of sausage, and put it in the oven and bake it for so long. Then when she took it out, she'd put the lid on the can and turn it upside down so the Lord would seal it.
Well, that's a good idea. Yeah.
And she did that. And she did.
They did that at the ranch, too.
That would seal it.
Mm-hmm. Sure would.
You could use it then anytime.
That would seal it completely. Huh. That'd be.
And I don't remember how she used to put bacon in these stone jars, some way or other. I think she had to cook it a little bit and put it in a stone jar and pour lard over that and seal it.
You know, the food used to be so much better. Yes, it anymore.
Did. Yes, it did. My dad made sausage that was so good.
The hams used to didn't have all the water in them.
Thank you very much for coming.